Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to He Said, She Said Radio. I'm your co-host, Eddie Jones, with my partner over in Tennessee, Cindy. How are things over in the hills?
Just fine. We're licking our wounds after last night, but we're doing okay.
Yeah, well, you and I both. Since why don't you tell the readers, I guess, they give them some background of why you're licking your wounds.
Well, because I'm an avid University of Tennessee fan. And no offense, North Carolina, but Tennessee won that game twice, hands down. So they didn't win it on the North Carolina didn't win it on their own accord.
Sorry, but
that's just how it is.
How did Tennessee win it twice?
Well, they scored the first time, then they took it back. They gave a penalty.
I had to go back at
25 seconds to the clock, go back, do it again.
Sandy?
Yes?
I know we've got a lag here. So you said they scored a touchdown the first time and they took it back. Explain that one because I didn't see that.
No, they scored. And then North Carolina got the ball. And North Carolina jumped up to catch the ball. Both the guys were airborne, smash. And, yes, there was a penalty there. But then they put the time back on the clock. And North Carolina snapped the ball. Half their offense was on the team, on the field, and they still got to play again. It was just a mess. It was just a mess.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what game you were watching then. I didn't see anything like that.
It's because you were on the computer. You weren't watching the last 25 seconds of the game that they replayed twice.
Well, no, I did. I just don't. There was nobody bumping into people and all that kind of stuff. That's why I'm trying to figure out how Tennessee won the game twice. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying that I saw Tennessee win the game, but I didn't see them win the game twice.
Yeah, and then they penalized them, took it back, and so North Carolina got a shot. They ran it, scored. Tennessee got it again, scored. Then they made them, and the guys were going off of the field, and they called them back on the field. Even after one referee said, the game.
All right, so let me fill the readers in because you have muddled this thing so confusing that I, having watched the game, cannot conclude what happened. So here's what happened. Tennessee scored a touchdown and went ahead. I believe they were up 20-17 because they missed the extra point. Carolina got the ball, tried to drive down the field. All they needed to get was a field goal, and they couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So they went forward on fourth down, and poor Dwight Jones for Carolina had the ball in his hands, right in his chest, and dropped it, which would have been a first down.
Which
would have been a first down. So Tennessee got the ball, and all they had to do was run the clock out, but they couldn't because Carolina kept calling timeouts, and Tennessee couldn't get enough. Couldn't get a first down. So Tennessee had to punt. Poor Carolina's back on their 20-yard line. Ball goes in the end zone. Get on the 20-yard line. And that should have been the game because Carolina doesn't have timeouts and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But because the Tennessee guy went airborne and ran and hit the Carolina receiver as he was catching the ball, Carolina picked up a first down on the other side of the 50. They got a 15-yard penalty that put them down within maybe field goal range. Carolina still doesn't have
any timeouts.
Put the
time back on the clock.
Hang on, Cindy. They have not put any time back on the clock yet.
Okay.
Yet. All right. So Carolina's down now on the about the 30-yard line, something like that. And then they run a play. And everybody's going, well, what are they doing? They're down to 6 seconds, 7 seconds. Carolina comes up and lines up at the line of scrimmage, and they're going, oh, my God, these guys are going to blow the chance to kick a field goal. And they did. They did. The clock expired. And the referee said, game over, and the Tennessee fans stormed the field. And then Dooley and Butch Davis shook hands, and then the referee came back and said, oh, we changed our mind. We're going to review it. And they put the second back on and brought in Barth, and he kicked the field goal. And Carolina tied it, and that's when they went into overtime. Now, Did Tennessee score again and they take away a touchdown? That's my question.
They did not take away a touchdown.
Okay.
No, they scored. Didn't Dan North Carolina scored again. North Carolina had an option to score again. They got it, scored again. They had that 1 second left. But they did put 25 seconds back on the clock. You missed that.
When did they put the 25 seconds on
after
the clock?
After the crash. They put the time back on the clock. The time that had run down, the referees put back on the clock. I'm not going to argue with this. My whole family was sitting here watching it.
They didn't put 25 seconds on the clock.
They put it back up to 25 seconds.
Cindy, that's a big difference. It's a difference than saying you put 25 seconds back on or you put the clock back to 25 seconds.
Okay, let me rephrase it. They put it back up to 25 seconds.
Which they should have, because there was a penalty. There was a penalty, and you can't run the clock when there's a penalty. So that's why they
right.
had to do that.
I know. It was just bad. I'm a sore loser.
Well, you should be for that one. You should have been for that one. Because Carolina lost the game. I mean, the referee came out and said game over, you know.
They did.
And then they gave it back to Carolina anyway, which, you know, my contention being a state fan is this is the way Carolina typically wins ball games. They get favors from the ref. And in this case, they didn't win the game, and the refs came back and said, well, we're going to have to give them some more time because poor Carolina didn't have enough time, apparently, to win this game, so here's another shot at it. And they won it. So I know I'm offending a lot of
Carolina. And
you know, back,
I think it was Alabama when Tennessee played Alabama, and Tennessee did screw up. They had 13 people in the field. But it was, you know, they won the game, but then they went back and said, oops, it was LSU. Okay, too many people on the field, and so they lost. It was their own stupid mistake. But, you know, that was the kind of mistakes that they've lost to the last few games that they've lost, and that's what makes it sad. This time it wasn't their fault.
Well, let me back up. Yeah, it was. This was Tennessee's fault because there was no way Carolina should have gotten within field goal range to do anything, right? If the guy for Tennessee had not launched himself in the air and given Carolina the 15-yard penalty,
mm-hmm.
that would have been it. If the Tennessee field goal kicker could have kicked an extra point, that would have been it, right?
Okay, right?
I mean, instead of it being 20-17, it would have been 21-17. But you're right. It was a classic case of Tennessee snapping the victory from the jaws of defeat or whatever that saying goes, because they had the game won, and they just gave it back.
Anyway, yeah, it was tough. So I'm a sore loser today, but, you know, hey, next year they'll be really good. I mean, they've done
this last little bit.
I've improved with everything they've had against them.
And I'm a sore loser because now I've got to listen to these Carolina fans for a whole year crowing about how they won a game that they really shouldn't have won. And, oh, yeah, we should. We had penalties all along. We should have won the thing. So it's just ugly. I'm glad this year's rolling, finishing up. So, anyway.
Well, we thought you would be happy because NC State won their game.
Oh, I was tickled to death, although, you know, it was agonizing watching them, you know, win a game. I mean, like I said before, I can't watch state play because it just tears me up too much. I see all the mistakes they make, and, it, you know, there were plenty of times they should have scored more points. They had five turnovers. You know, West Virginia created five turnovers, and state only got 10 points out of it. You know, normally you lose a game when you can't convert turnovers any better than that. But, you know, we won, and that's good, and and like I said, it would have been a perfect holiday, you know, Christmas season if Carolina had lost, but they didn't. So here we are.
Oh, well.
Give thanks for the small victories, right?
Well, anyway, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Well, listen, before we came on the air, we were talking about, you made a comment about e-book sales, and I guess why don't you tell your listeners a little bit about what we've been doing with e-books and subscriptions and all that in the last couple of weeks.
Well, in the last couple of weeks, you, not me, but you have been working hard to get all of our books that we've done through the ministry. Pat Patterson's book, Answering the Call, and Denise Locke's book, Open Your Hymn Book, and Our Spirit and Heart, and also Faith and Finances, are all on. Oh, and our new book, is now all on ebook. You've done that. And we were looking at just a couple of weeks worth of sales, and already they're selling really good being on ebook. And then you turned around and got the devotions, the feed from our devotions, now can be purchased for your Kindle. And, you know, that's awesome. So if people want it on their iPhone or on their iPad or their Kindle, they can get a subscription, monthly subscription, through Amazon, and those devotions will download to their Kindle or their phone. And the great thing about that is you don't have to own a Kindle. You
right.
can Kindle provides a free application for your phone and for your computer and for your iPad. So you can just download the free Kindle application, and you can buy all the Kindle books you want, and voila, you have it.
Yeah, you know, it's a dollar. I think we charge $1.99 a month, and the devotions are still free. We still provide them free on
mm-hmm.
the website. We still send them out to our subscribers. Anybody wants to subscribe, we will still do our daily devotions, send them to them for email. So that nothing's changed on what the ministry is set up to do. We really don't have any control over the pricing. This is an Amazon decision. They have a set default price for any of their subscription feeds, and so we have to follow their guidelines. But there is a convenience to it. So if you've got an iPhone or a Kindle, and you instead of copying and pasting and dragging into your Kindle every day, which is what I've been doing, now it just comes straight into your Kindle app or your phone, and
mm-hmm.
You've got it right there. And one of the things
and we
that
did
we're
want
be...
them to be available for people on their phones, because so many
yes.
people have the Droids and you know, the newer phones now that, you know, have internet access, and so it's nice to be able to have the devotion straight into their
That's
phone.
Right. And one of the cool things
future.
One of the cool things is our He Said, She Said devotions only come out once a week, and that's on Friday, and that's why the radio show is Friday evenings,
mm-hmm.
because the devotions come out on Friday. But we have corralled Cindy into doing a daily prayer. So if you subscribe to the He Said, She Said devotions, you will also get Cindy's prayer each day. And we're going to throw in some other specials throughout the week, so that it's more than just a weekly feed. You'll get things periodically throughout the week that'll enhance the $1.99 you're spending to be a subscriber to He Said, She Said. So,
right, and the price for that is not, like you said, it's not something that we've set, but for the convenience of it, there is a cost to us to do it. And so, you know, that's the cost that, well, not to us, but that Amazon charges.
Right.
So, you know. So we appreciate it. Download
yeah.
it to your computer. Download it to your phone.
We are thankful. We are thankful, which was the theme of this week's He Said, She Said devotion, being thankful.
Yes.
So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit where you came down on this week's verse and kind of give them a recap. I've got a smelly dog in my lap. I'm very thankful for my smelly dog tonight.
You're thankful for your smelly dog.
Yeah, with the shrimp.
Well, we were talking about thankfulness this week, and we were talking about needs of the ministry, and you know, even though we've had a rough year as far as, you know, attacks, and that's the best way I know how to put it, it's not that anything bad has happened in the ministry. All good things have happened in the ministry, but we've had things that have pressed against us that have made it hard for us. And so we're talking about thankfulness in that way. So that was what you said. I think this week we'll do thanks. Pick out a verse, and I actually picked out a verse. So it was, with praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, He is good. His love toward Israel endures forever. And all of the people grab a great shout of praise to the Lord, because of the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. That was out of Ezra. And I guess the thanksgiving I had, or I was thinking about being thankful, was the times that I've prayed, sometimes just saying thank you didn't seem to be enough. You know, and so there's different ways to praise God and thank God. And I chose the Hebrew names for God. So that was how I did it this time.
Yeah, yeah, which you've also been doing in the prayers that you've been sending me this week, which is kind of cool. Kind of
mm-hmm.
cool. All right, well, let me see if I can get the smelly dog out of my lap. Then I'll play the devotions, and we'll talk about how we wound up with being thankful for 2010.
Thanks, he said. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, He is good. His love toward Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Ezra 3, verse 11. My youngest turned 21 this week. Now he's old enough to drink, vote, go to war, buy tobacco products, rent an apartment, open a bank account, and serve on a jury. He still can't rent a car. He's an adult, but he's still my youngest. So as we celebrated his birthday this week with a game of bowling, not that why stuff, I reflected on his early years. Here are a few of his favorite sayings. Guess I'm just not lucky. Yeah, you white. Tanks! Translations. Why can't I have that cookie? Yeah, you're right. Thanks! Tanks is perhaps my favorite. He appeared so excited and appreciative. He still says thanks, but not with the same energy. But who of us does? Giving tanks doesn't rate high in the socially networked world where everyone is texting, sometimes to the person sitting next to them, but few appear truly engaged. Perhaps that's why I treasure these thank you cards sitting by my desk. Most came from writers I met at conferences, words of appreciation from authors with devotions, books, and novel ideas. Each card represents the currency of life, time. For it took time out of their day to say thanks to me. Ezra recalls how the people shouted with joy when workers laid the foundation of the Lord's house. I seldom say thanks to God with such enthusiasm. The best I can muster is a thank you in my prayer journal. But I wish I were more vocal, more animated, more thankful for my blessings. I should, you know. We all should. He made His Son the cornerstone of our salvation, laying a foundation that will never crumble. As a father, I can't imagine the pain of that sacrifice. So today, let me say, thanks, Lord. My boy is special. But yours is too. Happy birthday, boys. And Happy New Year to each of you.
In His name, she said, with praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love toward Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Ezra 3:11. Apple, I thought. Gwyneth Paltrow named her daughter Apple. The same woman gave her son the name Moses, and a pair of sandals I'm not sure anyone can feel. There's so much in a name, and in this world, in this society, a name can make or break you. Remember a boy named Sue? I pray every morning. In the beginning, it was awkward and forced. I had to learn. Now it flows like the waters of the Nolichucky River, fast, effortless, and continual. Yet when I pray, I still struggle for words that praise Him best, that thank Him appropriately. Thank you for, I praise you for, just doesn't cut it. God has given us the very foundation we stand on, His Son, the rock. There must be something more befitting Him than a simple thank you. God is known by many names. That's what's so beautiful about the Hebrews and their language. They praised God, prayed to Him by the names that addressed their needs and praises. None can outdo God's response when Moses cried out, "Whom shall I say sent me?" And God replied, "Tell them I am." There's little that can surpass I am. God has done a lot this week. He's given what I needed and then some. Blessed me when I probably didn't deserve it. Yet still, I couldn't find the right words to articulate my appreciation. So yesterday, I turned to Scripture. I jotted down several names that paid homage to a God who loves me so. I praised Jehovah Jireh, which denotes the side of God that is provision. I lifted my petitions for those who are suffering and ill to Jehovah Rope, the side of God who heals. My praises of hope and guidance to Adonai, my master. My praise of life and admonition to El Elyon, the God of Most High. I'm not sure I can show adequate thanks to God, who out of His love for me, called His Son Emmanuel, God with us. But I am thankful, grateful, awed by Yeshua, my Savior. God only expects what He knows I can conceive and understand, and by lovingly reading my heart, He accepts my praise and thanks through the names I grasp, know, and call Him. Of all the names I'm allowed to use for praise, the dearest is Abba, Father. Lift your heart in praise, for He is the very foundation of all we are. Call out your thanks in the names of God. Come to know Him intimately.
And there you are. That's this week's He Said, She Said devotion with Cindy Sproles and Eddie Jones. Cindy, it has been a different year. I don't know that it's been this year has been even more difficult or tougher than in years past, but there is a constant theme that runs throughout Scripture, and that is It's almost cliche. In fact, it is cliche. That is that despite whatever prosperity anybody ever has, they always seem to just ignore God and go, well, that wasn't good enough, you know, and they go off and do their own thing and kind of grumble and complain. And I didn't want to be that way at the end of 2010. I know I've been guilty of complaining and grumbling some this year. So publicly, I would like to apologize to anybody I grumbled and complained to this year, including my wife, who's downstairs fixing dinner right now. You know, because we do grumble too much and don't say thank you nearly enough.
No, we don't. And you know, you made a good point when you say people grumble about that kind of stuff, and we do. We get in our hands what we feel like we deserve, and we don't give God the credit. I try my best, and sometimes you're right, it does sound awfully cliche. I try my best in everything that happens through my day to find a way to say that God is, you know, His hand is at work in it, even if it's something that's not what I really want.
Right.
No, shucks. But, you know, we've laughed. My husband and I laughed ourselves the other day because, you know, I took early retirement so that I could work with you in this ministry and we could travel and grow the ministry and do what we felt like God was calling us to do. And the very next week after I retired, you know, we ended up having to go back in debt. And it's one thing after another. You know, it's nothing that we spent, you know, out of just, you know, one vanity, you know, it was things that had to be done. It was stuff at the house, you know, the house started falling apart. And, but through it all, you know, we have paid every bill and paid them on time. And I'm like you, I've grumbled a little bit, worried a little bit, and I worried a lot, you know. but I try my best to give God the credit for how He's grooming me and refining me, you know, and be thankful for the things that I do have, because you and I have a whole lot more than some people have.
That is true. That is true. Well, I should tell you that one of the things that prompted me to use wanted to do thanks this week was, you remember a couple of months ago you sent me this big old package in the mail, had a huge thank you card in it and all these other little thank you cards. Do you remember that thing you sent me?
Yes.
So I still got that envelope by my desk, and to describe it to the listeners, I think the thing probably stands 18 inches high, maybe 24 inches high by 18 wide. Anyway, it's pretty big, and this inside there was a big thank you card, and it said handle with care, and it was from I think it's Lindsay Helen. She sent it to me. Anyway, I've probably got, Cindy, 20 or 30 thank you cards from different writers that I received this year from writers' conferences who took the time to sit down and write a thank you, you know, to us for spending time with them at these writing conferences. And I guess that's what prompted me to want to focus on saying thank you to God, because I really do kind of blow through my journaling and, you know, just put in short thank yous, but I don't really take the time to literally write out what I'm thankful for and why I'm thankful. And that's one of those things. If I was going to make a resolution for next year, that would be it, to do a better job of being thankful and telling God I'm thankful.
I think we only think that we, in the back of our mind, we think we only need to be thankful for the big things, you know. And one of the things we're doing for this writer's boot camp that we're doing is, you know, one of the assignments is I've asked people to take time to write the assignment, handwrite the assignment.
Right.
And that's why, you know, because we don't take time out anymore. It's so easy to type it. It's so easy just to blow through it, like you said, and get it done. But if you have to sit down and handwrite it, then it forces you to think about it. It forces you to put, you know, more effort into what you're doing. So, yeah, the thank you notes are written out of love, you know, and out of taking time out of their day. So, you know, it's a sincere thing. Yeah. So, yeah, you've gotten a lot of those cards. Every time I go to the mailbox, there's one there.
Yeah, yeah. So it got me to wondering, you know, these little thank yous that we scribble in our journal or on a piece of paper, or these little prayers we send up, Does God collect those? And does he keep them laying around his desk? You know, does he have an envelope with my name on it? Go, well, these are all the thank you notes I got from Eddie. Three. And then I'm looking over here at all these blessings I gave him. Thousands. It's not a great ratio. But I'll keep sending him blessings anyway. Maybe the boy will figure it out after a while. Anyway, that's where my warped head kind of goes sometimes.
Well, the best thing about God is he doesn't always expect anything in return. And so I think, though, he greatly appreciates our thanks, and I think does sometimes expect it from us, but I don't think all the time, because I think he understands. I know he understands that he understands the sin of humans, that we just fail in that area sometimes. But he loves us anyway.
Yeah, I know he does say, come into my house with praise and thanksgiving. So if I can do a better job of that next year, I'll do a better job. Because you always do a good job in your prayers. So, well, listen, we've got a writer's conference coming up in January. I've got to get it on the ChristianDevotions.us website. We've got all these conferences we're going to be attending, and we don't even have the one that we're sponsoring. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about what you've been working this week and getting ready for Writer's Advance?
I would call you a slacker, but you've been working hard on the other stuff. We are doing, at Ridgecrest in North Carolina in Black Mountain, we're doing Writer's Advance Boot Camp that actually started out 3 years ago as just kind of basically our local Christian Devotions writers that we thought could get to us locally. But this year it actually went out nationwide. And we've got people coming from all over the country, which is an honor, I think, you know, that God has blessed us with people who trust us enough and want to be a part of us enough to come from Washington State and Texas and places like that. So we're doing a writer's boot camp, which is a weekend, Friday night through Sunday afternoon. And we're going to spend some time doing the basics and approaching writing from the viewpoint of writing as a ministry and how they incorporate that through through the writing that they do, whether it's for pay or not. So hopefully we'll be able to teach them a little something and give back a little something. The best part about this is there's no charge. You know, the only cost to the writers coming is just the cost for them to, you know, for their hotel and food. And the conference itself or the boot camp itself is free. So we hopefully will be able to give back.
So it's a good deal for everybody, right?
Yep, good deal for everybody. So, yeah.
Well, next year we will be off in a whole different year, 2011. And you know what, as we close this year out, because it is New Year's Eve and we've got a lot of listeners that are probably getting ready to celebrate or commiserate or one of those dates, you know, I was thinking back, it's been almost 10 years since 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just think about how much things have changed in those 10 years. And then you look forward and go, and how much more will things change in 10 more years? I mean, we started this show out tonight talking about e-books and all that. That wasn't even on the horizon a year ago.
No.
You know, people, there was no such thing really as print-on-demand books, electronic books, Kindles, readers, smartphones. You know, things like that. I remember 10 years ago, and then I'll kind of shut up, but I remember 10 years ago this night, I was over at Pat Patterson's house. We were celebrating New Year's at his house. I was working for IBM, and I had to be on call that night because throughout the world, and certainly within IBM, they were afraid the computers were going to crash when they rolled over to, you know, this century. You know?
Like you could have done something to fix it, right?
right, little old me. Anyway, that's what I was doing 10 years ago. Well, Cindy, I hope you and Tim enjoy your holiday, your New Year's sandwich at Jersey Mike's. I'm going to go downstairs and eat a steak with Benny and watch the ball drop or watch somebody else drop a football, one or the other. But anyway, we will chat with you next week on He Said, She Said Radio. I'm Eddie Jones. Cindy? Close out the year for us, if you would.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Cindy.